Welcome, everyone, to Little Bit Weebish. This is the podcast where I, Megan Cardenas, chat with my friends about the anime that we both are obsessed with. Of course, we're doing Jujutsu Kaisen, and it's with none other than Sam. Sam, how are you doing?
Good. Just a little stressed over my air conditioning going out for the fourth time in 2 months, but it's good to be here.
Let the joys of adulting, the joys of being a homeowner. Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, I've had similar stuff going down, and I'm like, you know, it's a challenge when it's all on you. Yep. But yeah, not to stress anyone else who might be going through the situation, you know, let's just dive right in. We're going to be covering Jujutsu Kaisen episodes 10 through 12, which I'm very excited about, Sam. And yeah, everyone, I want you to know that Sam was really on the ball last week and like had already watched everything, and I didn't. So yeah, I'm like super pumped, and I don't know, are you, Sam? Are you ready to finally talk about the episodes that I stalled on?
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. I was not mad at all, because I was just like, okay, it's one less hour to stress about. So yes, it just meant that I could not stress about it this time.
That's true. Okay, well, let's get into it, because these episodes were wild.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I guess because it's starting off with even episodes today, I will be leading two of the episodes, so let's just hop into it. Today we will be starting off with episode 10 of season 1, and it is called Idol Transfiguration. And I do have a quick summary for you today.
The quickest.
This starts off with Mahito and Junpei talking about hearts, love, and indifference. They go on to explain the difference between the heart and a person's soul. Were they the same? Do both exist? Mahito, which auto-correcting to Mojito.
And oh my gosh, me too, every single time. It doesn't even matter if I wait after typing Mahito, it changes to Mojito. Yeah.
Every time.
I need to speak to Google. Like, what is up with this?
Well, yeah, the reason why I bring that up is because I was like, why is this spelled this way? Because I know it's not right. But Mahito and Nanami meet up for a fight, which turns out to be very educational for both of them. They both like to talk a lot while they fight.
Yes.
Nanami realizes the extent of special grade cursed spirits are getting to. He's realizing that they have more strategy, like to talk, actually have personalities and stuff like that. And we've seen that with Gojo before, where Gojo, at least with Jogo and the other like plant-like spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of talking through it, but Nanami is now realizing this as well through the last couple of fights that he has had. But Mahito realizes the strengths of a Jujutsu Kaisen sorcerer at a lower level than Gojo. Man, I am like struggling today. I have like little like shortened versions of what I write down in shorthand, and it's just like, yeah. Anyway. So yeah, that's what's going on.
I'm always impressed with your short summaries.
Well, thank you. Definitely the theme seems to be a little bit longer today. But I think that it will pay out in the end, honestly. I think that we're getting into a deeper understanding of emotions, just because curses a lot of the time are built off of emotions, off of fears and stuff like that. And so we get into kind of like this philosophical kind of back and forth between Mahito and Junpei about love and indifference. But I decided that the theme today would be indifference. And I just wanted to kind of give a definition of what indifference is. It just means a lack of interest or concern, unimportance, mediocrity. And so we find that Junpei, in the beginning, in his opening comment, he quotes, "The opposite of love is indifference." That's the original. Wait. Now I can't remember. If the
original was love, but because he said that because Japanese people rarely say love, it was fondness. So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're on the right track.
I can't remember now which one is right and which one's wrong.
It's because this was ultra fresh to me. Remember, you watched this last week and I watched this yesterday. So yeah, you're good. You're good.
But yeah, Junpei goes into a discussion on the lack of understanding if it is still correct to say fondness, the opposite of fondness is indifference. He's like, did anybody take a moment to see if like this is still true? Like when we translate it that way. And I think that, you know, there have been examples of that for like the translation of the Bible. And maybe like if we're gonna stick true to like our Harry Potter references, there's also like certain words that have been translated from British English to Americanized English and that's like so lost in translation there, because like there's a part where it says that, oh, what's his name? He's like the janitor. I can't remember his name. But he's quote unquote,
yes.
He's,
I can't remember. Wow. We love Harry Potter. How come we can't Finch? No.
Yeah. Finch.
Okay. Finch? Why was that so hard?
Filch. That's Filch. His name.
Oh my gosh. Wow. We should have known more, but continue.
I can't remember which book it's in, but it's referenced quite heavily where, there's this translation lost of where he's quote unquote punting students across the hall because there's like this really big flood. And in Americanized English, punting means kicking, like
you're American football.
But in British English, that means that you are ferrying somebody across. You're in a boat and you are, it's a certain style of like rowing.
Punting, oh my gosh, rowing. That is hysterical.
So, like, if we're giving more of a modern day reference to that quote, he says that, like, is it translated incorrectly? Is it not? Is it the indifference of the Japanese people to care or not? Like, is it important or is it not important? And I think that's a really cool way to kind of open the episode, because we see a lot of indifference or the opposite of indifference happening throughout this episode. I will start. I feel like with a lot of my themes, I like to break it down from character to character that's referenced and how the theme kind of applies to them. So the first person that I would like to kind of go with is Nanami. He tries to show a lack of concern for others most of the time, but then during this episode shows Yuji that he still needs to have an adult with him to go see Junpei. An example of Nanami really doesn't care about a lot of people. And he said that multiple times, like, I don't really care for Gojo, but I do care about what his actions cause.
Right.
Him showing or telling Yuji that he still needs to have an adult to go with him to see Junpei, he specifically leaves out that he's going to see a special grade at the same time and doesn't want Yuji involved. And so he's telling Yuji, like, yes, you can come and be a part of this exercise, but leaves out the more dangerous portions because he cares for Yuji. He has said in the past, like, you are the child, I am the adult, I have a responsibility. Which to me shows a lot more care instead of indifference, because I mean, if you see Gojo with Yuji, like, he's taking Yuji everywhere and putting him in a lot of danger.
Right.
But yeah.
He wouldn't care, like, about Yuji's age, he'd probably think, well, you've already experienced a lot of bad stuff. I mean, you have Sukuna. Who cares? This is no big deal.
Yeah.
He definitely is the opposite of indifference. He just keeps it tight to the chest.
So to speak. For sure.
At least that's how I'm interpreting Nanami.
I think that he does care a lot more than what he leads with his words.
Right. And I also want to add just to the Nanami part, because just going off on keeping things tight to the chest or just not, or saying something, but there's a deeper meaning. I think he shows this when he's fighting Mahito and the contorted soul that he was on cries and says, please help me. And he told Mahito, I don't bring personal feelings into my work. But you see him bending down to wipe the tear from its eye because he knows that contorted soul is human. So on the surface, it would appear he's composed or indifferent, but he does seem to care and have more concern than he lets on. So
definitely. Mm-hmm. I definitely think that it is. There's a couple things with Nanami. I think that there is a version of control on, he can control what other people see of him. But just kind of like with Gojo, I think that there is a step back that he tries to have with everybody because he is a powerful sorcerer. He might not be as powerful as Gojo, but he wants to make sure that those people stay safe. And if they are associated with him as somebody who is precious, they might take that as a weakness, or him showing, you know, compassion towards, you know, that tortured soul, that might be taken as weakness as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I agree as well.
So the next person that I kind of wanted to chat about was Junpei. Now, poor Junpei is
I want to give him a hug. I want to tell him life gets better. I want to tell him, like, all the things. Because, I feel so terrible for him. But yeah, continue.
No, you're good. I think that he struggles with knowing if he is indifferent or not. He's kind of in this limbo of trying to learn on, like, should I care or should I not care? Because he seems to care quite a bit when bullies come at him. He cares about them. He cares about his mom. But every time, you know, like with his mom, he cares about his mom and her health and says, like, Mom, you said you were going to stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of, like, brushes it off. And he's like, well, in that moment, I think that he feels kind of like, well, should I care? Should I just brush it off?
Mm-hmm.
And then his interactions with bullies, like his teachers, he has a lot of people just telling him, like, it's not a big deal, or, like, people like his teacher watching him get bullied and totally turn away, like it's no big deal. And so I think that he's struggling with his feelings a lot.
I think part of it, maybe for him, it's that he does want to care. Because it is human nature to care to some degree, but he, in a way, might be trying to brush it off, because if you don't care, you don't get hurt. You don't get disappointed. No, for sure. And I think that Junpei has experienced a lot of hurt and a lot of disappointment, so that's probably one of the reasons why he relates to Mahito or is open to Mahito, because maybe he sees Mahito's way of the world as an out of the disappointment and the hurt that he does feel because he cares.
No, I think that's really great. And it kind of leads me into my next point about Junpei. Mahito kind of tries to gauge on how Junpei feels about, you know, about death, about corpses, because he's showing him, like, small souls that he has morphed and stuff like that. But Junpei ends up saying that he might care if it was someone that was close to him, like his mom, right. He gives as an example. He also doesn't seem to care much about the boys that hurt him when they died, showing a level of indifference, because, you know, he was wronged by them and he doesn't really care about them. So he's on the edge kind of here of both like good and evil. And that's kind of what I'm seeing here. Mahito has a lot of power to tip him one way or the other.
Oh, he's totally on the edge in this very moment during the episode. And he even says that if someone he doesn't really care about or know dies or something, it's a certain level of indifference that should be a virtue that a person should mm-hmm. strive for. And when we think of a virtue or something being virtuous, we think of it as worth pursuing or implementing into one's character. So you can see that he's on the cusp of this edge where he can truly go one way or the other. He's just leaning towards Mahito, given all of the disappointment and hurt that he's experienced thus far.
Yeah, definitely. Since we're talking about Mahito is the next person or thing, being whatever, that I wanted to talk about. And he is completely indifferent. And I want to give some heavy examples with him. He speaks completely in hypotheticals. So that he isn't invested in anything. He talks about how there's no heart and this is a soul, and
but a soul isn't special.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's just kind of, he's throwing even his own body around in the fight with Nanami. Like, it's nothing special. Like, he's just experimenting. And it's very interesting to see that he's just like devil may care kind of attitude. And Nanami kind of like picks up on that. And he's like, oh, he's kind of like Gojo in personality.
Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. Not to upset the Gojo fans, but there was that comparison.
Yeah. But Mahito views humans as lesser than him. Things that can be played with. He comments very blasé about how many people he has killed to make sure that he can warp the souls in just the right way.
Oh, and it's so twisted.
It just sounds like there's no importance to a human life. There's no importance to a human soul other than to be utilized by him. He's very much egocentric. He wants to do things to strengthen himself, make himself better, figuring out how to make people lesser than him. Because even with Nanami, he puts Nanami down originally because he's not at the same level as Gojo in ability. And then he finds out that Nanami is very, very strong. And so he's like, you know what? I'm going to experiment on you. Let's see what a sorcerer's soul twists into. And yet again, just putting Nanami down as just one more thing to utilize to make his powers stronger.
Yes, exactly. I have nothing else to add because I think you said it perfectly.
Well, thank you. And then the last person that I really wanted to chat about was Yuji. He shows that he cares about everything. Oh, the big-hearted lug that he is. There is no indifference at all for him. He tries to help Junpei with a teacher that's bothering him, even though he's like, he picks up on things. He's standing across the street from Junpei, and he picks up that like this teacher's really pissing him off, because this teacher's berating him for not being at the funeral of the three bullies who bullied Junpei.
And that he saw bully and ignore and say, oh, they were your friends? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just crazy. And so Yuji takes the time to draw the teacher away, ask Junpei if he's okay. Junpei kind of looks like, oh my goodness, this has never happened before. Nobody's cared this much. Yuji goes on to say, like, let's take a walk. Like, let's not stand here in case he comes back. And then we can, mm-hmm. you know, chat. But then he tries to gain familiarity with Nanami and the assistant as well. Just like chatting with them, trying to gain some understanding as to who they are. And to me, that shows that he's really, he's trying to invest in the people that are around him. I think a lot of people, when they lose, you know, the people that are around them, that they kind of start to feel like, well, there's no point in putting in effort into other people because they're just going to leave at some point.
Right.
At least with, you know, death being so close to Yuji recently. But he just, like, he loves life. He invests in himself and he invests in other people. And very much is the opposite of indifference.
He'd make a great friend, all I'm saying.
Yeah.
yeah. I also want to add, I know we touched on the teacher, mm-hmm. but I want to add that he truly is also a big example of indifference because he saw the boys beating up Junpei. I know I kind of mentioned it, but he saw the mm-hmm. boys beating up Junpei. He did nothing to stop or protect them. And he didn't even follow up to be like, hey, I saw this. I wasn't sure what was happening. Are you okay? Is there anything I can do? Yeah. You know, he never did any of those things that you would hope an adult would do, hope a teacher would do. It was just this weird level of indifference towards either his students or specifically Junpei. That was just this level of detachment that I think, I don't know, kind of goes hand in hand with why Junpei is on the cusp, on that edge of, you know, should he care, should he not, should he mm-hmm. deal with Mahito's philosophy or should he not. You know, he's very much, the teacher is very much one of the reasons why Junpei is where he's at, because of the teacher's own level of indifference towards him.
Definitely. No, I agree. You can tell that Junpei is looking for somebody to guide him. And right. The teacher was definitely in position to be able to do that. And unfortunately, he didn't live up to that mm-hmm. or even attempt to do anything. And Mahito got to him next.
Yeah, he did.
I guess we'll move on to the next section with bonus material. For Megan, why don't you go ahead and chat about one of the things that you found interesting.
But the movie plot that they mentioned in the beginning, Junpei and his friends, they're like, man, that sounds boring. I don't know, the way they described it, I thought, this sounds amazing. Like, is there a book? Yeah. Is there a real movie? Because I feel like I'd watch it even though they said it's garbage. I don't know. Maybe I'm a glutton for
it. Well, it just sounded like they were so excited. And then it was like, that sounds so boring. And I'm like,
I know. I know. I'm like, is this a teenage boy thing where you just like really underplay? Whereas like me as a teenage girl, I would really oversell. Like, I don't know. It sounded amazing. And then, of course, the last thing that I loved was... I thought that Nanami's clocking in, clocking out was just highly relatable. Like when he's like,
yes,
it's 5:30 now. I started at 10. I'm stopping at 6 regardless of where we are with this. So relatable, so perfect. And then when he's like, I guess I have to go into overtime. It's like all of us adults get it. We get it. It was hysterical.
Yeah. No, it's so true though. It's oh, so yeah. true.
Been there, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I just really liked the beginning where they are doing a breakdown of the translation that we talked about. The opposite of love is indifferent. The opposite of love is indifference. And how Junpei makes the point of saying that the translation in changing the words, and if anybody ever looked up the meaning or the phrase, like, to me, as somebody, I mean, probably to you too, because we do this thing where we break down, like, the meaning of what each episode is. Yeah. Like, for me, that was interesting because I was like, I never really thought of it that way. I've only thought of it in terms of, like, biblical writings and, like, oh, but this actually means this. And, oh, the mm-hmm. original translation is this, you know?
Yeah.
And I had never thought about it in the opposite way where it's, anyway, it was really cool. And I was like, look at this kid trying to say, like, is this still correct? Like, is the opposite of fondness indifference? Like, is it really? So it was just kind of cool to me.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I know we had our nerdy moment in the beginning of this very same thing, but I just want to add, in my graduation ceremony for college, one of the speeches was telling us to be awful. And by doing that, by the original meaning of the word awful, which used to mean full of awe, and then, like, he went into like, you know, all the inspiring things that you'd want a college graduate to do. Because the English language, as opposed to, I'm sure, all languages, they go through this adaptation. Language evolves over time. So something that was widely used to describe something so wonderful and full of awe, the word was awful. But now in modern day, awful is like terrible. It is the worst. Like, you don't want that. So yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm nerdy also, and I'm like, yeah, what was the original meaning? How did this evolve? But, you know, this is an anime podcast and not a nerdy podcast, so, no. So I'm gonna reel myself in because I don't think people signed up for that. But yeah, I too was like, I like that.
No, definitely. Well, I think that wraps up episode 10. Let's move on to your episode.
Okay, here we go. Episode 11. The title is Narrow-Minded. And I genuinely thought, I'm going to get this down to a paragraph. And I did it. But I genuinely thought, I can do this. I'm saving that for another day. Today wasn't the day. But here's my quick summary, my version of a quick summary. So, like a boss, badass Nanami is going into overtime. And Mahito is delighted at Nanami's strength until he gets his leg cut off and Nanami tells him that he withdraws. If we're both still alive, let's meet up again, Nanami says. Like, oh my gosh, such cool guy energy. Anyway, Yuji and Junpei decide to talk about Junpei's abilities to see curses and also movies, despite the fact that Jujutsu sorcerers are Mahito's enemies, and the two seem to form a friendship, and it surprises Junpei, and they, you know, see Junpei's mom, and Yuji's invited to go to dinner. Now, on the side, Gato finds Mahito alive because he maintained the shape of his soul, and Nanami does get injured in the fight, but it's non-threatening, and Nanami assumes that Mahito isn't that old of a curse spirit, but it won't be long before he masters domain expansion like the curses Gojo fought. Now at dinner, Junpei's mom, Yuji, they're all having a great time, despite Junpei's mom being a little drunk, and Which I'm like, you can tell that Junpei is like mortified and like so embarrassed. And you know,
yeah,
it's a rite of passage that teenagers get embarrassed by their parents in some form or another. I'm just throwing that out there. But they're about to watch a movie when Junpei asks Yuji if he's ever killed anyone, to which Yuji says that he hasn't and he won't, even if they're bad. Late at night, Junpei's mom wakes up and finds one of Sukuna's fingers with a cursed spirit lingering behind her. It is confirmed that Junpei's mom is then killed. Yuji wants to help Nanami, but is told to continue monitoring Junpei. So Mahito and Gato cast a veil around Junpei's school, with Junpei attacking a student who may or may not have planted Sukuna's finger in his home. We really know in truth who actually did it. And spoiler, yeah. It wasn't the student. And Yuji rushes in and tells Junpei to stop, to which Junpei replies, "Jujutsu sorcerer, back off." Oh no! Oh gosh. Just when you think this is so sweet and beautiful and wonderful, the rug gets pulled out from you. I'm just throwing that out there. But Sam, I think we need to just tell people this now.
Okay.
So as everyone knows, Sam did her, she watched and wrote her notes like a whole week ago because she has better time management. But me, as I'm watching this all yesterday, I didn't bother looking at Sam's themes. And so the theme for this episode and the next episode is the same, which is the value of life.
Which is Sam so funny because I looked and I was like, holy cow, we like literally verbatim. You said the value of life and I was like, the value of a life. Like, that's literally the only difference.
Exactly.
And I was like, wow.
When I know, when I say, Sam, that I was shook, I really mean it. Because I was like, whoa, Sam and I are totally in sync, but will this be problematic? Of course, we decided, no, this wouldn't be problematic. So here we are. Everyone, you're going to get a double dose of the value of life, or a life. And yeah, but we'll stick to the events that happened in this episode, and then of course we'll move on or tie in the next one. But yeah, the value of life. And specifically for me, Sam, what got me to even think about this was when Junpei asked Yuji if he'd ever killed anyone before, since he was a Jujutsu sorcerer, and Yuji told him no and he wouldn't, even if they were bad. And when Junpei pressed further, Yuji told him, "I just think if I killed anyone, the very option of killing would then have forced its way into my life. The value of life would become ambiguous. I might start taking the people I care about for granted, and that scares me." So Yuji has a strong belief in the value of all life, which to me actually explains his deep desire to have a proper death. You know, I think those two go hand in hand. So to have Yuji express his value in human life, I'm like, oh, that makes sense to me. And it is such a stark contrast to Sukuna, to whom he is a vessel for, because Sukuna delights in the bloodshed of really anyone. It's like no human life or any life at all matters to Sukuna, but to Yuji, all life has value of some kind, and it's not his place to decide who lives and who dies by his hand. Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you have anything you'd want to add to Yuji?
Yeah, I think that this is the first time that we get like a really good definition as to why as to why Yuji tries to save everybody, why he tried to save the delinquent in the detention center, because I mean, if you remember some of the previous episodes, we have Megumi, who is trying to create his own definition as to who he will save and who he will not save, after, you know, him and Yuji kind of fighting back and forth. And we really don't, I mean, I think at this point we have come to a concrete definition or a standard that Megumi lives by and why. But now I feel like with Yuji, even after he had this conversation with the principal, getting him into the school and stuff like that, I think that this is the first real explanation for Yuji and why he saves everybody. And it, like you said, the value of life for him would start to be ambiguous if he started to kill people. His values would diminish and stuff like that. And so now we see, even though before we had heard, I am not going to kill anybody or leave anybody behind, I will save everybody, we didn't get that clarity. And I think that this kind of is also showing Yuji growing up.
Yes.
And would he have been able to have shared that type of an explanation if he was not with Nanami, who's kind of the more logical thinker? I don't know. I really think that this of Gojo pushing Yuji to partner with Nanami has allowed Yuji to grow. This is something that is a very logically thought out statement. And I think that Nanami is really pushing Yuji to not be just like this hothead who, not necessarily hothead, because Yuji isn't like angry, but he's a quick,
he's like a, spontaneous. He's a
move and then think.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Spontaneous person. And I think that he's really helping Yuji to think. Like just truly, truly think. So I really like that you said that.
Oh, and I love how you tied in like all the other episodes that we've covered that support this very statement. But again, as you said, we finally get it put into very concrete, specific words about where Yuji's standard is. I love that you tied that in. Now, in hearing this response, we have Junpei. And Junpei is almost surprised at Yuji because he had felt saved by the idea that humans didn't have hearts and only unimportant souls. And he also felt that even before Mahito, that his life would be better if he could just press a button that would wipe out all the people who hated him. Just touching on what we discussed last week. So in meeting Yuji, Junpei realizes that his soul is special. He can't taint it, which means that he also can't kill anyone, which I feel like is a very interesting sort of connecting of the dots simply by experiencing Yuji's friendship and hearing what Yuji has to say about the value of a person and that it's not his place to judge who is worthy and who isn't. They just are. So that's what I felt was very interesting, how Junpei was changed in that moment because of Yuji. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
I feel like Junpei is very much like myself. Like, once you decide on an opinion or a side, you are there. And I think that this is also the other thing that surprises him with Yuji's comment, is that he's somewhat swayed by Yuji's comment.
He is.
Because he was, or Junpei was guns blazing, like going into school. And I think that that's also something that surprised him. And almost, I don't know, I get this feeling that Junpei is like, I need to figure out where I stand and then I'm going to stick to it. And I think that that's what causes him so much conflict because, Or part of the reason why he has so much conflict is because he's like, I chose this side. Yuji is on the opposite. I must treat him like that opposite, that Jujutsu sorcerer. And he's like, if I choose the opposite of the Jujutsu Sorcerer, that means that I'm a bad Jujutsu Sorcerer. And so that, therefore, Yuji is my enemy. And to see him be kind of stunned by what Yuji said still means that there's hope, or meant that there was hope. In his heart and in understanding. And it makes me feel so much worse for Junpei.
Right.
Because he ultimately he is confused.
Well, he is. And you can tell, confused. You can tell that if the moment with his mom did not occur, Junpei very much could have had a life at Jujutsu Tech, Jujutsu High, and been friends with Yuji. But because he was almost teetering that way. But then the thing with his mom just really was the final nail in the coffin. But for that brief moment, you can tell that the things that he had been fed by Mahito were being called into question just by that brief little moment.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And in the thing, well, I'll save it later for my bonus.
Oh, okay. Ooh, I'm intrigued. Okay. Now I do want to bring in Nanami, because Nanami also expresses this in his own way. You know, because we see how he's deemed who is an adult, what makes an adult, and who is a child. And he won't let Yuji help him with these contorted cursed spirits, because he knows it will force Yuji to go against his personal boundary of not killing anyone. And he added, which I really do think is very beautiful just with how the world is, but he says, please understand this. Being a child is not a sin. And it's like Nanami wants to preserve this innocence of youth within Yuji for as long as possible, which almost seems pointless given that Yuji's been forced into this role as Sukuna's vessel and is exposed to a world of curses. But it's that desire to preserve or to protect that ties into this value of life theme, you know, because if something is precious, if something is worth protecting, you know, such as Yuji's life, his youth, his innocence, whatever he has left, Nanami wants to preserve that. And he pretty much says that by saying being a child is not a sin.
Yeah. And I think that Nanami, I mean, He's pointed out multiple times that Yuji is still a child.
Yeah.
Despite the life events that he's had recently.
Right.
And I think that kind of like what you were saying with Nanami wants to preserve Yuji's innocence, I think that he's trying to allow Yuji to be a kid as long as he can. Yes. As well. Not just preserving the innocence, but allowing him to have more less responsibility, more lightheartedness, less jaded aspects coming into him, coming into the world. Right. And the reason why I say that is because I think, I mean, you know, we've covered Attack on Titan, and you see like our main characters in Attack on Titan and Jujutsu Kaisen, we have Yuji and we have Eren, and you can see how like with Eren, he's so young and he has this mantle that is placed on him at a very young age. And you can see how quickly he becomes jaded. Now, right. I mean, you have Armin, who is his best friend, who has gone through pretty much everything that Eren has, but hasn't had this mantle laid on him quite in the same way. And you still see this innocence, this love for life, this jovial nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what Nanami is kind of trying to do is allowing Yuji to preserve what little he has left to enjoy in his childhood, kind of in the sense of like Armin. Armin still looks forward, well, up until season 4.
Yeah.
Looks forward to, you know, like the sea and having a life after, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, season one been... through three, Armin. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. There we go. That's my example.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I 100% agree with that. I'm glad that you added just that joy and that happiness factor that comes with not having the adult responsibilities on you, because yeah, very, very true. But yeah, the value of life conversation will continue, but first let's talk about the bonus stuff that we want to add from episode 11.
Yeah.
Okay, this is where it happens. So the point of the movie thing, when Yuji says that he's been watching a lot of movies, but not in theaters. Junpei says, the emotional impact of a good movie at a theater is huge, even if on-demand ones are more convenient. It made me go, OMG, what if MAPPA knew that they were going to do this Jujutsu Kaisen Zero movie? I'm sure they did. So they planted that line to subliminally say, watch out, we're gonna blow your mind with a great movie, and y'all better watch it in theaters. What if they planted that line to subliminally say, go watch Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, the movie, do it. Like, what if they did?
That's so funny. I mean, I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't. let's be honest.
Oh, gosh, it was so good. Everyone, don't worry, we will be covering it, but, like, later, when it comes out on demand on DVD, because that's when it will have to happen. Oh, it was exactly. So good. But, yeah, when he said that, I was, like, pointing to the TV. I was like, oh, no. Oh, my gosh. They really meant that. Did they mean what they said? So, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, for me with my my bonus, it was more of a not happy, creeped out feeling, but I felt like it held enough, like, anyway, so we see throughout this episode that, like, Junpei is, like, picked the dark side, right? And he's, yeah. like, putting on his mom's black clothes for his morning clothes. He goes to his mom's closet because he doesn't have anything black, and then he pretty much just, like, goes into the school. I feel bad giving this correlation, but it's very similar in my mind of a school shooting. Like, yeah. It's a different way.
Yep.
Of, you know, he doesn't have a gun, but he has magic that he's using, or cursed energy. And he's going in like this, and we get this flashback of Junpei sitting on his bed with Mahito, and Mahito saying, like, you know, people pay to curse other people, you know, and I wouldn't yep. put it past somebody that was wealthy that might not like you at your school to pay somebody. And it totally plants a seed within Junpei's head that, like, it's this rich kid at school. And yep. we know this entire time that it is Gato and Mahito who have planted this finger.
Yeah.
And it just reminds me so much. And I know that I've said this throughout episodes before, but what you say and what you do matters. Yes. It matters to somebody. And there are people out there that utilize their influence for bad. And Mahito in this moment made me feel so gross. Like, I was so angry at this moment because I was like, Junpei is so vulnerable. You're taking the sweet child and you're feeding him incorrect information. You know it is incorrect. And he's going to do something that is so terrible that is going to scar people's lives. He could kill somebody. It's also going to scar Junpei's life. But you don't care because of your indifference, because your lack of love for humanity. Not even love for humanity, but your lack of care for humanity. You want one thing and one thing only, and you want to get it in any way possible. You will do yes. anything.
Well, and on top of that, Mahito's words only seem to have validity because there were students who treated you who treated Junpei like a bag of crap.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just echoing what you've said, your words and your actions matter, you know, be kind. Because, yeah, there are people who struggle. I mean, the entire time, Junpei, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just want to tell you life gets better. Mm. But would it kill anyone to show him some kindness, to be like Yuji, to, you know, find common ground and just, you know, show kindness?
Yeah.
You know, I know that not every...
That was heavy. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I literally thought it also, and I'm sure that other people thought it also, especially given everything that's gone down. Mm. Not to go there, but we have gone there. So, yeah, I'm sure that other people thought it too. So, everyone, please be kind, be aware, and, you know, give a damn. So,
yeah, that's a really good way to state it. Just give a damn.
Yeah. There we go. But yeah, let's keep this train going, because we're still in the world hurt with episode 12. So Sam, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, so episode 12's title is To You, Someday. And here's the quick summary. Junpei, I keep calling him JP, and I just love it. I'm just like, JP does this, and JP does that. So that's what my notes say. Junpei finds his mother dead, and he goes to take revenge on who he believes is the murderer, a rich kid at the school. Yuji hears about it and goes running to Junpei's school to stop him. As he is there, Junpei and Yuji fight until they come to an understanding of why Junpei is doing what he is doing. He feels justified to kill as his mother was killed. Yuji invites him to be a Jujutsu High student at the same time after they've kind of reconciled with each other. Then Mahito arrives on the scene and kills Junpei after he starts to figure out who really killed his mom.
Yep.
And he pretty much just said, like, you were too smart. Like, you figured things out. Now I've got to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Mahito and Yuji fight a ton during this episode. But as Mahito is about to deal a killing blow to Yuji, Nanami steps in to block the shot.
Here we go.
And so, yeah. To continue this theme of a value of life, we kind of like what we've talked about before, we see different characters with different values in terms of like how much a life is valued. Is everybody's life valued equally? Is it not? And just like Megumi, we kind of figure out some more values of people that they have in this episode. So I start off with Junpei. Junpei really doesn't understand how Yuji can save everybody. And it just doesn't make sense to him. And it just like it didn't make sense to Megumi. Megumi felt like there were some people who were worth saved, and those were the good people. And those that weren't worth saving were the bad people. Just like the kid in the detention center. Like he told Yuji, put him down. He's not worth it. And Yuji was like, no, I'm saving everybody.
I think the only difference between Megumi and Junpei's definition is that because Yuji's like, save everyone, I think mm-hmm. Megumi's like, if you've proven yourself to be bad, you're not worth saving. But for Junpei, mm-hmm. it's like, if you prove yourself to be good, then you're worth saving. I think that's just the subtle differences. Good. With where people are at on who is worthy, who is valuable to save.
Yeah, that is I was thinking like, how do I, even though Megumi and Junpei kind of hold the same values, how do I differentiate them? Because they definitely mm-hmm. do differentiate in their values. And I love how you said that. Megumi, prove yourself bad. You are not worth saving. Junpei, make sure that you prove yourself good.
Yep. I think that's the difference. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good way of putting it. With Junpei, he feels justified in killing the rich kid because he believed that this kid cursed him and his mom for money. And it was more of like an eye for an eye situation. He was like, well, you know what? Nobody can fault me for killing this kid because he killed my mom. Yeah. So I'm justified in doing so. And so for him, Junpei values the life as, yeah, you took a life, I'm going to take yours. He believes that if all people have hearts, that he can't justify why someone with a heart would try to curse him and his mom. And he's having some cognitive dissonance, and he's like, I can't reconcile that somebody, if they had a heart, any type of heart. And I think when they, in this episode, that when they're talking about heart, I think that they're talking more about like a conscience or like goodness, not yep. necessarily like the physical organ. Because for the longest time I thought that when they were talking, I was like, oh, soul versus heart. Like I thought they were just there's no heart physically in your chest.
Yeah. It's like, then what do you call this right here?
Yeah, exactly. But for Junpei, trying to reconcile whether somebody has goodness in them, he was like, if I feel like this person has goodness, I can't reconcile them wanting to try to hurt me or my mom. And so he's really struggling with that. He's struggling with, he was just like, it's better to feel like nobody has goodness, or if somebody were to do something wrong, that they don't have any goodness in them. And that is how he values life. If yep. you are not good to it, and I think that more specifically, if you are not good to him or the people that he loves,
right,
then you die.
Yeah, exactly.
I did want to make an interesting note that during the episode, Junpei doesn't call Yuji by his name, but calls him Jujutsu Sorcerer until they are back on good terms with one another. He's trying, like, for me, just watching this part, because we've seen him say Yuji in the past episode when he met Yuji, or, like, recognizing him as a person and not a sorcerer person.
Yep.
But watching him, I think he's trying to separate how he feels about Yuji and feeling justified in trying to kill Yuji by removing his own heart's feelings. Like, calling Yuji by Ooh. His name is so, there's an attachment to it. There's love to it. I think there's also, like, this is me kind of breaking down Japanese culture as well. Like, you don't call somebody by their first name until you're close with them or comfortable with them. And Yuji is his first name.
Yeah.
So, like, I think he's just trying to separate that.
Yeah, and trying to other him while he yeah. sets out on this vengeance quest. Yeah. I would also like to add that I did think it was interesting, too, that when Junpei told Yuji Mahito wasn't a bad person, it was like he immediately then, as soon as he spoke the words, connected that the contorted human's curses were actually horrific and how bad it actually was. It's like it hit him. And it's like he had dismissed it in the beginning because mm-hmm. he was so hurt and he felt so hated by everyone that it was just kind of this, like we mentioned earlier, indifference to humanity because he had been so hurt by other people. Why would he care? But here was his friend. And as he's trying to justify Mahito by saying, oh, Mahito isn't bad, it made him realize, no, actually, Mahito and what he's done is horrible. But it was too late yeah. at that point. I think just when it became too late, Junpei realized, wait, there actually is value in a human life. And I was used just in that split second of trying to rationalize to his friend, Yuji, about Mahito. Oh, it's so heartbreaking.
Yeah. Since we're talking about Mahito, again, he's just not a being that values life at all. He believes that all humans can be killed at his pleasure. He utilizes Junpei's life to get Yuji. Like I said before, you have Mahito twisting what is going on, who actually killed his mom, to draw in Yuji and draw in Gojo as well.
Right.
And so he's utilizing Junpei as just like this cog or this pawn. And then we see another instance, and I really didn't think about it too terribly much, but when Mahito sees Yuji, he mm-hmm. realizes that he's like hit the jackpot, because he was like, I was just trying to get Gojo over here, but Sukuna's vessel is here. And so now I'm going to try to utilize Yuji's life to bring out Sukuna. I'm going to endanger Yuji's life so that he will call on Sukuna, and that Sukuna will feel the need to save his vessel's body so that he can continue living. I just feel like he also has a cursed spirit superiority complex. Like, he feels like nothing can touch him.
100%. Yes.
Like, he has found that he can do more than he thought.
Mm-hmm.
He's being taught new things by Gato. And he's realizing that he can contort his body and change his own body shape to fit his needs. And so he just thinks that nothing can touch him. And then he wants to utilize Nanami as an experiment to see what a sorcerer's soul could transform into. And that was kind of, you know, before in the other episodes, where he's starting to try to do that. But again, he just has no value for life. Anybody could be killed at his expense. I don't think that anything could really stop him, because he has gained this importance in himself. And who's to say that he wouldn't turn against Gato at some point, because he believes that he's stronger than any human. He doesn't have the limits that a human body does.
That's true.
So, I just don't think that he values anybody.
Ugh, Mahito's the worst. I specifically think for Mahito, it's that he doesn't value human life, specifically, because we know that life comes in all forms. But specifically, he doesn't care about human life. And I think this is because since he and Jogo are on the same team, so to speak, I think it's safe to say that Mahito also believes that curses are the true beings. They're the ones who are born and stay true to what brought them into their birth. Like Jogo had mentioned back at the cafe. Whereas humans are the lesser beings, because humans are so flippant. And so I think that that means for Mahito that humans are not inherently valuable. And like you used your examples, they're just mere tools for either pleasure or purpose or using in some sort of advantage for himself.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Ugh, Mahito.
The worst.
The last person that I really wanted to point out was Nanami, and his part was much smaller to play during this episode.
Yeah.
But I thought that it was worth just mentioning a few things about him. He was very calculated in how he has saved people so far. He wants to save those that are a part of his mission and his younger companions. Like, he's made statements like that before, that those are the people that he desires to save most. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's not willing to save other people, but he has kind of a hierarchy that he has put forth. He hasn't necessarily said, like, this person is deemed unworthy and this person is deemed worthy, but he has a system that he works by, which sounds very much like Nanami. He wants to save children because it is his role as an adult to do so. And he said that quite a few times as well. He views that children are saved and that it is his duty. So a child's life is more important than an adult's life. And I think that it was interesting. Now, it's not necessarily what he's saying, but what he's doing at this point. But he's willing to leave his other partner on a mission that they are currently on.
Who is an adult.
Yes, exactly. Alone, because he was an adult, while Yuji, who is his child partner, or his teenage partner, needed help. And so he valued Yuji's life over another companion who he sounds like he knows pretty well at this point, because he's like, I'm going to put you in for a promotion to a sorcerer level one. And his companion's like, coolio, let me be like super awesome at this while Nanami's gone to just prove that I need to be better.
Right. Like, bring it on.
Yeah. But through his actions, I think that he's furthering the point of that Yuji is important. And it's not because of his abilities, but because of being... It's really not because of his abilities. Like, he could be any level of strength as a Jujutsu sorcerer, but it is him and his age and his innocence that he wants to protect and save.
Yep.
So we know that, like, his criteria isn't even, well, I'm going to save the strong Jujutsu sorcerers and let the weaker ones die. It's not that. And then he tries to take the brunt of the killings and the fights so that Yuji doesn't have to live with that.
Yeah.
I think that in some ways, this statement of taking on killings and fights on behalf of Yuji also shows the value of his own life. Mm-hmm. And I think that he has somewhat an indifference for his own life. He's been trying to, I know, but if you look at the comments that he said, like, he didn't want to be a Jujutsu sorcerer, and so he went to have a 9-to-5 job, and he hated that, and so he went back to being a Jujutsu sorcerer, and it was just like, you know, whatever's kind of better is what he's going to lean towards. And I think he's just kind of apathetic towards how he lives life. He just kind of wants to get through it. And so he's valuing somebody else's life over his own by throwing himself in the deeper end, I think.
Oh my gosh, that's so sad, but I think that you're right. Dang it. Oh, Nanami. Oh, yeah. Need to give him a hug too. Not that I'd complain.
Yeah, so I think that Nanami just needs to find for himself almost something to, like, propel him forward to value his own life, because it seems like he finds, even though he's trying to act kind of apathetic, I feel like he goes out of his way to find reasons to save others.
Yeah.
More than himself in terms of fights and stuff like that. So that's just my thought on his value.
Oh, dang. So good, Sam. So good.
So let's move on to our bonus section. Is there anything that you just wanted to add that you liked or maybe disliked?
Oh, yes. Okay, so the entire fight, I was thinking, wow, Mahito would be terrifying. But then the moment that Mahito touches Sukuna's soul and Sukuna goes, don't forget your place, foolish puppet, to the point where Mahito looks scared, I was like, oh my gosh, this just shows how powerful and evil Sukuna is, and just the magnitude of the responsibility that Yuji has as the vessel. I was like, if Mahito gets scared, holy freaking crap, Sukuna is a bad guy. Real bad.
Well, I think, I love that you bring up this moment, because I also think that this just kind of further drives home Mahito's superiority complex of thinking, like, I am strong enough to call on Sukuna and demand him to join us.
True.
And I think he gets put in his place.
Oh my gosh. So bad. Ugh. Anyway.
It's good.
It was good and it was bad all at the same time, but in a good, bad kind of way. So, Sam, what was the thing that you loved or want to mention?
It wasn't something necessarily that I loved, but it was really hard for me to see Junpei struggle so much. Just to draw some real life parallels, I feel like Junpei and the way that he was treated is somebody who has been abused in one way or another. I feel like his struggle with, you know, trying to believe that humans have love, have hearts, have goodness inside of them, when so many bad things have happened to him, and for him to just say, you know, it's easier just to not believe that humans are good or that they have hearts, is something that I think a lot of people can relate to, people that have been hurt extensively over and over again. I know that I've, you know, related to that in terms of like just emotional trauma that I've had with people in my life and people who I have expected to be there, or people who may have, you know, utilized my nature, my giving nature. I feel like I am a giving person and I try to give. This is me trying to like love a part of myself. And I know that I am somebody who tries to give a lot. So it's not me trying to like say, oh, I'm so cool. But it's just a part of the process of loving yourself, right? And so I feel like Junpei really represents that part of humanity for me, of people who just struggle with not knowing what to do with something or someone that has hurt you and wondering like, why have I been hurt? And it's just easier to think that there's no goodness out there, or that that specific person has no goodness, than to try to reason through that. And that was just that was very, very hard for me, because I felt like he was just being used as a pawn with his emotions and with his loving and caring nature. Like, down deep, the base emotion that Junpei is like dealing with is just his love, and the love for himself, the love for the people that are around him. And it's just so hard to watch. It was very hard for me to watch his roles in the last couple episodes.
Oh, it was. Well, and for me, I also wanted to give Junpei a hug, because I just was like, I felt horrible, because it's like, well, no wonder. Like, I know that Junpei did something horrible in the end, but it's like, you fell victim to the first person who showed you something that resembled love, something that resembled kindness or friendship, being Mahito, and just misunderstood what that meant, or what misunderstood it for what it really was. But yeah, just him falling victim to the first person who he felt was accepting him, and it's heartbreaking. Because, yeah, you wanted more for Junpei. You wanted more for Junpei and Yuji's friendship. And you really thought the whole time that it could have happened, you know? And then when it didn't, and just to see him go out that way, it was just horrible. Yeah.
I sorry that we're going so late over, but, like, it's Junpei.
We were really short on go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's Junpei that's in the opening credits that's sitting with Yuji, right? Okay.
Yeah. I think so.
So do you notice that he is wearing... I'm pretty sure that it's him. I'm pretty sure that it's him. And I think that it's very symbolic, because we know that Junpei dies in this episode. But Junpei is wearing a Jujutsu Sorcerer's uniform, but it's white, and everybody else's is black. White often will symbolize death and stuff like that. And I like that. Even I feel like freaking animes do this all the time, where they take one freaking character that's not in the show for very long and they make them so important, and then they put them in the freaking opening credits or the ending credits, just like what's his face Yeah, Marco. Freaking Marco. Just like Marco in Attack on Titan. And we're going to reference him for the rest of the time that we cover Jujutsu Kaisen. And it's one of those things where they're like, oh, love gosh. Him, love him. And you do. And then they rip him out. They rip him out.
Well, exactly. Or you just have this bleeding heart for them. And you're like, I want to give you a hug. I want to say it gets better. And then it's like, well, now I never can. Now no one can.
And he's going to be in the opening credits or the ending credits. I can't even remember which credits it is for the entire season. And you just get to cry over it the entire time.
Oh my gosh. I need to go back and rewatch this more carefully. Oh my gosh. The heartbreak. Yeah. Oh, what's the author of Jujutsu Kaisen again? I know his first name is Gigi.
Gigi Akutami.
G-E-G-E.
Or JJ?
Akutami?
I don't know if it's JJ or Gigi. I don't know how to pronounce it, but.
Can someone confirm, is the author's first name Gigi, as in G-E-G-E, or JJ? Or
Gege?
Gege? Well, because Megan.
Yeah. How do you pronounce it?
Gege? I think it's Gege. Wow! Okay, and then wait, what's his last
Akutami?
Name again? Sorry? Akutami? Akutami just ripped my heart out with Junpei the same way Isayama did some damage. I don't know if I need to emotionally prepare for the rest of the season / season 2. I don't know if I'm ready.
I don't either.
I think other people who are listening are like, okay, thanks for bringing us down. Sorry, everyone. But like, how could you not? How could you not? Jeez.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, should we just move on to like our favorite characters or moments? Because, bring us up.
Okay. So last episode, I said that I was saving my real MVP or like my real favorite character for this trio of episodes because I felt like they played more of a part instead of last time, but I also wanted to do them last time, but it was Nanami. I freaking love him like so much. I fight between the love that I have for Gojo and the love that I have for Nanami and the love that I have for Touge and the love that I have for Toto. Like, somebody said not too long ago, they're just like, there's daddies all in Jujutsu Kaisen. Like, how can you choose? Even Panda. Yep. I'm like, Panda, you are so funny. I would love you if you were human.
Yes! For real. And we know how you are with funny characters. Funny dudes.
But Nanami is just so cut and dry. But you also can tell that he's kind of instilling a sense of planning that Yuji didn't have before. I think that he's really playing like this this role that Yuji really needs. Somebody who is a little more like an adult.
Yes. Or not like him. Yeah. You know. So I
just really like the role that he plays in these last three episodes in guiding Yuji in a different way than he's experienced so far.
I love that. Well, and for me, normally I hardly give it up to the main character because I'm like, you're meant for like a little more, but today I had to give it to him. I have to give it to Yuji the whole entire time because we talked about indifference and he is the exact opposite of that. He cares so deeply. He's unassuming. He immediately cared about Junpei. And when Junpei went dark and told him why, Yuji apologized for his arrogance and was still extending friendship to Junpei. It's like the entire time Yuji just cares. He cares about people. And also, just as a side note, when he was fighting with Mahito, he had a refusal to switch to Sukuna toward the end. Like, he was going to avenge his friend. And I think that that's admirable for Yuji.
No, I definitely do too. I think Yuji was the good choice. Yuji was a very good choice.
Oh yeah. We did good. We did good is all I'm saying.
For sure.
Oh man. Well, I think that is a wrap. So everyone, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, we had a great time. So yeah, thank you for joining us. We are so happy that you're here for a little bit, Weebish. We're so happy that you are listening to Jujutsu Kaisen with us. If you'd like to support the podcast, the best way to do this is to share it with your friend or to give us a review on either Spotify. You can select what stars you want to give us, or you can give us a little review on Apple Podcasts or just really wherever you listen. Give us a review. It all helps us out so much. Next week, we will be covering the next three episodes, 13 through 15. So be sure to watch those ahead of time and join us again. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email us at any time, of course, at littlebitweebish@gmail.com or send us a DM on either Instagram or TikTok. It's a good time. I love chatting with you guys in social media. Yeah. And that's a wrap. So thank you again, everyone. Thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Bye.